a brand new podcast, a brand new live letter, and we don't have to believe we can fly. We just will, eventually. This is the first issue of the Carbuncle Chronicle. Hello, and welcome to an all-new podcast thing. I'm Basil, and I main a Lalafell summoner on Leviathan named 4K, right as K.
Hi, I'm Anna. I made a Lalafell dancer bard on Leviathan named Cormier, right as K.
Hi, I'm Dylan. I main an Elizan white mage on Leviathan named Aldric Greywind.
Greetings all, forsooth! My name is Douglas, and I main the fanciest, fluffiest-tailed cat boy, who started out as a white mage, but due to the natural evolution of white mages, has now become a black mage on Leviathan, named Umito de la Lune.
What, was this like an RP thing and I was not told? Because
no,
it's not really my
no,
thing.
No, it's just you guys did boring intros, so I decided to spice it up.
And that's us. So, normally, this is the podcast, your podcast, everything awesome. So this is your podcast, everything awesome, in Final Fantasy XIV. For the longest time, we did a Final Fantasy XIV minute, where we would talk about little things here and there. But as we kept recording episodes, especially recording episodes in the past, for the future, what we talked about in 14 was constantly getting outdated. So we decided at some point we should really do a 14 podcast period, so we can actually get it out when things are actively being talked about at the time, which is this. Huzzah, everybody!
Huzzah!
Huzzah!
So,
seriously,
yeah.
Is this an RP thing?
No.
No, it's not. I mean, it could be, but it's not.
I mean, we could bring Huzzah back.
I mean, I only huzzah at the Rin Fair.
And really, isn't Final Fantasy XIV just a video game Rin Fair?
Yeah.
Sure is.
I mean, you do still have the random stormtrooper that'll walk by.
It's true, and people from Star Trek, and people wearing Attack on Titan hoodies, and all that stuff. So, for our front page news, there was a live letter this past week.
Yay! We had to get up early on a Friday.
6 in the morning.
Hey, that wasn't near as bad as it normally is.
It's true.
Why wasn't it near as bad as it normally is?
Usually it's like at like 3 a.m. for us.
Okay, well, also, I ask again, why was it that late?
It's based on, you know, I guess Japanese time, so that was, what, 7 or 8 their time? I'm guessing that may have to do with it was a good time to go into the office since there would be fewer people out with the...
Oh, I see.
Because, I mean, I know in the live letter, Yoshi P and Foxconn, they were in separate rooms, you know, to do the social distancing thing, but still be on the live letter together, but I guess it was probably a better time, like I said, to have the minimum amount of people out and to get it done. So, and they usually try to do it in like a late afternoon, early evening type time for the Japanese. Because 9 times out of 10, it's in Japanese exclusively.
And the beginning, they actually wanted to explain things a little bit. So they had Yoshi P saying stuff, then Foxconn was saying stuff in English. And man, his English has gotten better.
It has. And the biggest reason I believe he was on there was to show how the COVID situation was affecting the development team for future updates of the game, as well as to help translate mostly a really nice letter that was sent to them from a player who is on the front line, you know, of the COVID situation, like how he's a medical professional. And so that, I think they really wanted to make sure that as many people as possible could understand that section of the live letter.
Because they're dealing with various issues. Like, for example, they're all trying to work from home and their entire pipeline is designed to be done in the office. Like, all of it.
Yeah. I've been hearing general rumors that just kind of in general, Japan is not really set up to do to do social distancing. You would think that they would be able to work from home, but that's just not how they're structured. That's not how they think about it. Not as many homes have computers as you would think that they would.
Yeah, and they mentioned that like, just the space in their homes don't give to being able to have a work computer, and like the internet speeds don't give the opportunity to be able to work like they need to.
Because like their development environment is more or less a live environment they can just work on in there, because it's all internal, the data transfer speeds are way faster than you would normally have by an internet, even like good internet. And
yeah,
because
Japan technically has better internet than we do. So that would be surprising that their internet wasn't as good as ours. But if we're talking about the massive file sizes of inter-office communications, that might be something completely different.
Yeah, and they also mentioned especially the security issues of trying to get into like the servers at their work and everything. Mm-hmm. That was also proving to be a huge hurdle for them.
Yeah, that's interesting because you would think... I mean, we've gone through that challenge here of, you know, people getting access to stuff at their offices. Like, I know a lot of people who've gone through that and have been in different places. It's kind of surprising that they didn't have something like that, but it's kind of an extreme situation.
Well, for a lot of them, again, they don't have computers at home. They had to figure out how to take a lot of their work computers to get to the house. And where do they set them up at?
Yeah.
You know, the Japan living space is much, much smaller than what we're accustomed to here because everything is so compact. And for a lot of folks, their primary way of interacting with the internet is actually just through their phones.
Right. That does make sense.
And I know one thing they mentioned was like, I guess culturally, Japan, if when you work, you go to work. And when you're at home, you don't work. Like, working from home is definitely a new thing that they are having to deal with during this whole thing. Because, like, there's a lot of people in the United States that already worked from home. Like, it's not a new concept for us. You know, now people are figuring out, oh, you can do different... Like, this has made us realize how many jobs can be done from home. But in Japan, they don't. Like, they don't work from home. You go to work, and you are at home. They have a good separation of that.
Yeah, there's a really big divide.
Yeah, because as soon as you open that up, it's really easy for that to kind of spill over into your home life.
There's already this culture in Japan of you know, work. So if you don't instill that divide, it's almost the assumed reaction that's exactly what would happen is that your workmen would then never get any time off. They would insist on working all the time.
Right.
And that's actually good for productivity.
Right. Well, it's funny because later in when we'll talk about the live letter, there are certain things we're going to be getting in this patch that we weren't supposed to be getting. We got it because the dev team decided in their off time they wanted to work on this. So it's like, yeah, like, you know, when you don't have, again, it's like you were saying, you know, there's sometimes you just keep working and you don't stop. But when you enjoy what you do,
And if you got to work at Square Enix, you probably enjoy what you do.
I mean, yeah.
I'm just putting that out there as somebody who really wanted to work there at one point.
I mean, we have a friend, we have a couple friends in this free company that work for, you know, various companies that have to do with video games, and they love their jobs. They work all the time because they love it.
I also remember, for example, Sakurai, the main director, producer of Smash Brothers, when he got sick, he would just get an IV put into him and keep working.
Yeah. Ooh,
that's rough.
That's not good for productivity.
It's also why, you know, Naoki Yoshida, our wonderful Yoshi P, is both producer and director. Producer is the person who's actually in charge of the overall vision. Director is the job of making sure everyone gets their stuff done. And he's still doing both because he doesn't trust anybody else to do his job. So the delay for things could be a few weeks. It could be up to like a month or possibly even longer. I know they also mentioned that for them, getting the new Nier Raid done was actually hard to test because they had to get 24 people together to run this in the test environment, and just that was hard.
Yeah, again, with the internet speeds, you're having to get 20... It's like us when we try to, you know, put Farm Night together. You gotta get 24 people together to go at the same time, and they're trying to test this stuff out to make sure there are no bugs. When we do it, they've already done this. But yeah, I can imagine how difficult that would be.
We're probably lucky that they got as much stuff as they did, because I think they said it was mostly done, except for like a lot of big bug testing before the stay at home stuff for them happened.
Yeah, they said about 70% of it was done before they were given the stay at home order.
So it is going to be interesting to see how further patches and what are making the whatever the upcoming expansion will end up being, how that's all also going to get delayed. But who knows how that's going to work. So let's talk about Reflections in Crystal. Patch 5.3.
Yay!
Woohoo!
So this is the grand conclusion to the Shadowbringers story.
What?
Well, and that's what they've always done, is 5.3 is the main ending of the story, and then 5.4 and 5.5 will get little bits that are going to connect the ending to the beginning of whatever 6.0 will be.
Okay.
Like, and I saw a lot of people saying that, and I was even concerned, and I was watching Mr. Happy's video, and he made a good point. He said, this is how they've always done it. Yes, this is the ending, but there's still going to be a little bit more that will connect it and give us, like, our cliffhangers and where we're going to be going in 6.0 and everything.
Like, okay. For example, I believe the 0.3 patch was where Stormblood, where people start falling unconscious.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that thing started around the 0.3 patch storyline, where they kind of wrapped up Alamigo. I think that's when Rao Bond decided to stick around Alamigo. But everyone's like, oh, yay! Next thing I know, one of our scions passed out and was in a coma. And everyone's like, wait, what's going on? Fade to black. That's the kind of patch we're looking at here. You know, at least as plot lines go.
Well, the Shadowbringers storyline has been really good. I've really been enjoying it this whole time.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see how we're going. Because every patch, I'm like, how? Because I'm always afraid about how we're going to get the scions back to the source. But then I always feel bad because we have all these people we've met in the first. I'm like, can we just bring them with us?
So maybe I didn't pay enough attention to how some of the mechanics work, but because I can jump back through Aetherites between the source and the first, I just assume, like, once they get everything resolved, other people will be able to do that. But I don't know if that's game mechanics or if that's story.
They explained it that because we're the Warrior of Light, like, that was the thing, is when the Crystal Exarch was trying to bring us over, he kept missing, and he was bringing the souls of the scions over. Then he finally got it right with us, and our body is there. That's why we can go back and forth, is because our whole entire being is going to the first. And so, yeah, so the souls of the scions, that's why, you know, you see in the image, which we'll post, with the Exarch holding the crystal. The crystal is what we're going to be putting, or what they're hoping to put the scion souls into. So the Warrior of Darkness or the Warrior of Light, we can physically take that back with us and put their souls back in their body, because we're the only ones that can cross that divide. So yeah, when we figure all this out, unless we figure out some way to open up a bridge to the first from the source, we're the only ones that'll be able to go back and forth.
Okay. Like, I remember that, but I didn't get into all the details of how travel worked.
Yeah, essentially, we got brought over completely. But before he got that right, he was like, all right, I'm going to do it right this time. Oh, hi, Alice. Well, that wasn't... All right. I'm going to do it right. I'm going to do this right. Yes, I've got you, Yestola? That's not... No? No? Okay. I've got this. Yes. Hello, warrior of my heart, Urion. All right. Like, that's pretty much what was happening. He just kept goofing it, and he finally was like, aha, all right, I've screwed up multiple times. This time, I've got it. Ah, yes, thank you, Warrior of Light. Okay, cool. All right, now I mentioned Warrior of Light. Have you thought about darkness? Here, let me sell you on darkness.
Because if you tell
allow me
here
to interest you in darkness.
I mean, if you tell people here you're a warrior of life, they're not going to be happy with you.
But, you know, also, shout-outs to Natsuko Ishikawa, who is the lead main scenario writer for Shadowbringers. She did an amazing job, and I kind of hope that they're still keeping her on for whatever comes next as far as plot lines and things go.
Yeah, I mean, we're kind of all joking about, you know, the Warrior of Darkness and how edgy that sounds, but they do a good job of kind of making it feel natural instead of just like, now we're evil.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, oh, no, like, we're not evil exactly at all. We're still the good guy. Like, we're still the good guy. It's just a lesson on, like, no extreme is a good idea.
Yeah. And that's one thing Yoshi-P has really been focused on this whole, and if you've watched the YouTube series on the creation and behind Shadowbringers, one thing he says is that the big thing for this is he wanted to show that, you know, there was beauty in darkness, and that, you know, just because it's darkness doesn't mean it's evil and it's horrible. And then the same thing for light. Like, light is not always pure and beautiful. It can be pretty sketchy.
Yeah, they do a really good job of taking, like, we kind of think of light and darkness as being equivalent to good and evil. And they really do a good job of flipping that and go, no, actually, these are just elements. You know, they have nothing to do with good and evil.
Yeah,
it's like how fire is an element. You think of it as being wildly destructive, but we need it to cook our meat and keep us warm.
Exactly.
Like, I would really like to go to, I think it would be pretty neat to go to different worlds that were ruled predominantly by a different element, sort of like how the first is ruled by light. I would like to go to the fire world and see, like, the heavy extremes between frozen landscapes and fiery landscapes. But that's just me, and I think we probably got a little bit of that in
Eden. Yeah.
Yeah. Not only in Eden, but also in the place with the elves and the dragons.
Ishgard?
Yeah, I think we got a lot of that in Ishgard already, so I may just be asking for more of the thing I like.
And what they're asking for you to do is to make sure you complete the Crystal Tower series and the My Little Chocobo quest to keep going on, which you probably all already have out there on the internet, but just in case you hadn't, you gotta do it this time.
Which, it's gonna become required now with the revamp they're doing to Realm Reborn.
Which is, Crystal Tower will make sense once you've done it, and once you're in Shadowbringers, makes a lot of sense. My Little Chocobo is what you do to get your chocobo as your buddy. So that also makes sense that you would kind of want that to be, you know, done. It frankly should be main storyline material already. So yeah, we've also got a new dungeon coming up our way called the Hero's Gauntlet. It sounds very nice, very appealing.
It looks like it takes place in Lakeland, but apparently there, if you look closer at the image, there's some fairy-like creatures there. So we don't know if it could even be like some dream world or something, kind of like from the fairy beast, pixie beast tribe. Sorry.
Who knows? Fairies are weird. Fairies are dangerous. You should never make deals with them.
Haha, like you did.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's not in 14. It's not in 14.
Right.
Although, thank the Lord that we at least got, like, the one fairy that's cool, and not a cop.
Okay, go on.
All right, next up, we also have a new beast tribe, dwarves. Which, man, ooh, that feels weird, playing a Lalafell main and knowing that we're just dwarves.
Well, if you notice, they have stopped calling them beast tribes. Even in the live letter, they do with the pixies. Was it the pixies or the Qatari? Maybe in the Qatari. They no longer call them beast tribes. They just call them tribes. It's a new tribe quest. Because I believe that they thought about that with the dwarves and Lalafells. They're like, look, they're not a beast tribe. So they've taken that out, actually.
Well, that's fairly new. That's a pretty big development. that they did, I hope they explain that, because they've been pretty adamantly calling them beast tribes up until now.
Right, I believe it was with the Qatari that we noticed that they didn't put beast tribe, but they just put tribe.
But either way, it's crafting!
I feel a little weird about it being crafting, because this whole expansion feels like they've really focused on crafting with Ishgard and the Qatari being a gathering tribe, and now we have a crafting tribe.
Well, good. They really didn't focus too much on crafting. I feel like crafting was really lacking in Stormblood. But I feel like a lot of things were really lacking in Stormblood, so...
But, well, and granted, the best tribe in Stormblood was the Namazu, and the best tribe in Shadowbringers are the dwarves.
I mean, that's
say before
bias.
You even played them.
I mean, with what we've interacted with the dwarves, I do like them. I have been a fan of the pixies. I did enjoy that quest line a lot.
Well, the dwarves are set up more like more typically of the beast tribes back in A Realm Reborn, you know, where we have the good tribe that we know is the good guys, and then there are monsters, you know, antagonist versions of them elsewhere on the map. So it does make sense that they would be a tribe that way. It's just, you know, the whole difference between beasts and civilized tribes.
Right.
We're also getting the new quest of Garleans Gone Wild.
The Sorrow of Rowlet.
Well, it's the weapons. Like, last time we got a ruby weapon. And we've got either it's Sapphire weapon, or it looks like Mr. Happy thinks it's Ironworks Ultima weapon. So,
well,
who
when
knows?
You look at it, there are Ironworks type symbols on it. So that I think that's where that came from. And because we're not getting a new trial this time, it's kind of like, I have a feeling that the four weapons are going to be similar to the four lords, where we don't actually fight all four of them. I believe there is going to be an instance for it. So he had mentioned even like using this possible Ironworks weapon to fight against that weapon is like a solo instance, possibly, which I think would be kind of cool.
So we're going to finally get giant robots. Kevin, we might get giant robots, pilotable giant robots in our Final Fantasy MMO game.
This expansion, we've had lesbians and giant robots. Why is Kevin not playing again?
Well, they're all in the patches. That's the trick. He's got to get to the patches. And with the new patches, we're also getting a brand new secret trial. Ooh.
What? What's a secret trial?
It's the final trial that they're not telling us what it is yet. And they're telling us that it won't be predicted easily. Like, this is going to be on the same level as Steps of Faith, Shinryu, the final big boss battle.
Well, it's like Steps of Faith. And Steps of Faith. And then Shinryu, again, I guess.
Oh, you mean Nidhogg Steps of Faith?
Yeah, well, that's it.
Okay, yeah.
Like, well, the big thing right before Heavensward was Steps of Faith. The big, last big thing before...
I bet it's
going to
be Steps of Faith again. I think Basil just stumbled upon the secret.
You know,
it's going to be
I'm
Steps
afraid
of
that.
Faith.
I'm afraid of that. My guess was the Crystal Exarch has been the head Astian all along.
What?
So we're
no.
Fight him. Yep, that's my guess.
Emmett?
No!
Exarch, they both start with the letter E. It's been in front of us all along.
No, the Crystal Exarch is my boyfriend. I can't fight him.
That's weird, because I thought at some point they named all the known Asians. Are you thinking this is like a new one that we haven't seen yet?
No, I'm being completely facetious with
okay.
it.
No. We're invoking the J.J. Abrams puzzle box. That's what we're doing.
Well, when they say you can't predict it, you know, might as well go out of the box.
Like, actually, the Sega trial is, in fact, going to be Yoko Taro himself. He's actually going to leave the Nier raid and be like, hey, guys, you're fighting me now. This is what I'm about.
And see, here's the problem.
Like to
by
die.
That point, well, by that point, you know, if we're getting the second part of the Nier raid, our characters may be deleted by that point.
Oh my god!
So we gotta
like...
make a brand new character to go into that fight, just for that fight.
like, oh my god, you guys haven't even played that game yet, have you? Like, you need to play that game. Oh my god, I was not expecting a game to hit me in the feels like that. Like, oh my god. I can't even, like, I know I explained it all to Anna when it happened, because it was so, like, fresh and raw that I had to talk to somebody about it. But just, nobody warned me that it was a feels game. Like, everybody said, oh, it gives you a lot to think about. No, like, it hits you, like, straight up in the kidneys.
This is why when they first announced that duo was doing the 24-man for this expansion, everyone went, oh god, we're gonna cry. Like, that it, was it's the not first... be,
it's not gonna be you're gonna cry the way you expect to cry. It's not like they're gonna make you care about these characters and then kill them off. Like, no, they're gonna do something that you don't even see coming.
Well, but what we do see coming is actually the Urhart Dark Apocalypse Chapter 2, the new raid, the Puppet's Bunker.
And with this past, the past little bit of story that they gave us, because, you know, there was that one quest line with patch 5.2, and they've mentioned the carnival, which I know is a part of the newest Nier game. Like, I know a lot of people were saying that, oh gosh, we know exactly what this means, so I don't know what to expect.
Yeah, I know what that means.
Exactly. Like, yeah, exactly. So, like, everyone's excited about it, and they know what's coming, and
apparently the
terrifying.
Screenshot indicates like a fallen space station, and
yeah,
and
that makes sense.
So, and as from the screenshot they showed, a lot of people are like, oh, that's the space station. So that means something. One day I'll play the new Nier game and I'll know what that means, but not for this podcast.
You really need to play it, Basil. You really do.
Yeah, I do. I also need to keep playing 14 so I know what the job adjustments are going to be. We'd all have no idea. We know
you're
that
getting
be
nerfed. You know it. Summoner's getting nerfed again. You know it.
They'll just means you'll buff me at a later patch. It's fine. What's more interesting for PvP is that the frontline daily challenge will now include all of frontline.
Yay! I need to get back into that. I enjoy doing the frontline dailies. I just haven't lately.
Also, we get to do more stuff with our upgrading our resistance weapons for the Save the Queen quest line.
Yay.
Which will include the Bozkan Southern Front. Eureka 2.0!
Yay. Well, that also probably means a BA2, and I'm okay with that, because I enjoyed Beldis and Arsenal.
They've also said you're going to be able to do other things besides the instance area if you don't want to
neat.
Do Eureka.
Yeah, the new Eureka is going to be optional. There's actually you don't want to go do this, now you can do this to upgrade your weapon instead. So that'll be nice. Like, especially for, like, those of us that are crazy and get more than one weapon.
I'm actually kind of curious to see what the Bozkan Southern Front is. Because this is also more Ivalice content, and I love Ivalice, so I kind of want to go there anyways just to see what it's about.
Yeah, I definitely want to try it out.
And next up they covered was updates to crafters and gatherers, which seemed way more important to people who really keep up with crafting and gathering and not me.
Me? I was very happy for some of these changes because... What the first one, especially, is trial synthesis, which this last patch, they gave us to where we could get practice recipes to, or practice materials to use and practice, like, the higher level recipes, because they're so hard, and, like, you have to, sometimes there's not even a set rotation for it, you just have to mess with it. So that was nice, being able to practice them and not waste these, you know, really hard to get mats. But now they're going to give trial synthesis, where I think you can make any recipe. Like, you can trial it no matter if you have the mats or not. So you can practice the recipe before you even have all the mats. And that'll be nice.
Practicing won't give you, like, a skill upgrade, will it?
I don't know. There might be some experience attached to it. I honestly don't know. That would be interesting to find out. And then the other thing is something that I... As a real-life baker and a crafter in 14, you always come up with the whole, what do I have in the pantry that I can make? I have so many mats in my inventory and retainers that I'm always like, okay, I want to get rid of these mats. What can I make? They are now giving me this option to where I can search for a recipe using the mat in my inventory. So I could right-click it and do search recipe that I can use for this.
That seems really useful.
Yeah, I was so happy to hear about that.
So I feel like I've got a lot of materials like that where I pick it up. I go, yeah, this feels like it should be useful at some point. I don't know what it's used for. Throw it in the retainer inventory.
Exactly. Like,
and that's why I'm full.
Yeah, well, exactly. I said, because I have a lot of the materials that were really hard to get from like the old Aquapolis maps. Mm-hmm. And so it'd be nice to right click on them and say, what can I make with you and sell it?
And I'm just going to let you just run through the crafting stuff.
Okay, the other thing was we're getting a new turning client, which I haven't even finished with Kaishir yet, but that'll be nice to have a new person to turn in things to and get scripts, because right now, scripts are a big thing. The yellow scripts especially are with the sky steel tools, which are the crafting and gathering relics. I know I have to use a lot of yellow scripts for that, and there will be a new phase of that coming out in the next patch, so we can upgrade those further. And then they're also going to change on delivering crafts, like turning them in for probably scripts and whatnot. They're going to make a more fixed lineup, because right now it changes all the time on what you can turn in for scripts. So they're going to make a more fixed lineup that doesn't change. And then we're going to move on to the third phase of the Ishgard restoration. I know some Japanese servers, they're already seeing houses. Like, not that you can buy, but they're already seeing plots and the various housing types that we're going to be able to get once it's done. Because apparently, North America, we're super behind. We're on level, well, on phase, like, not phase, but on stage, like, 29, maybe? And they're already up to, like, 34. And at 33, I think, is when you start seeing the houses in Ishgard.
How did we get so far behind?
I don't know. Because I thought we were doing fine. And like even our server, we're not the top ones. I think Gilgamesh and Behemoth are the top two North American ones. And I don't know. We're not even close to seeing that yet. Because I think we're only on 26, maybe?
I feel like the answer to why are we not there yet is people like me who've walked over there a couple of times because there was a quest. And then, yo, this looks complicated. I'll come back later and just have completely forgotten about it.
Yeah, I'll admit I've really slacked off. Once the sky steel tools hit, I really slacked off doing my expert crafting and gathering. So I definitely want to get back into it, because like I said, the third phase is going to be coming up and they're going to reopen the ranking system, which I didn't even think about doing that last time, because I'm like, I'm not going to get anywhere near a rank. I ended up getting top 100 in two different classes.
Wow.
So I may actually try it, and because I got a special title for it, and I know if you got in the top 12, I think you got another title. So it's really, I mean, and you get it from gathering, you get it from crafting, just anything that gives you the points. And it was a lot of fun to just do. Like I said, I was doing it not even expecting to rank, and it was fun, and the rewards are always a lot of fun to get, especially the new dyes. But yeah, I think that's all with the crafting and gathering, because like I said, the sky steel tools, they'll get updates, which you can update to a +1 right now. And it's not hard, it's just time-consuming, and lots of scripts. Lots of yellow scripts.
And folks, when this new patch hits, it's time to get all your friends to finally play this damn game. Because they're finally revamping A Realm Reborn.
Yay! Even though my European character is almost done with it.
They're stripping away 13% of the quests. Especially like all that extra patch quests that you had to do. That they were trying to vamp while they were trying to figure out what Heavensward was. A lot of that's gone. And they're even taking stuff that you still have to still do. They're taking a lot of the busy work out of it, so it'll just be more like cutscenes.
I know they said if it was a quest that had to deal with an NPC that you meet and is important later, that's what they were keeping. And like you said, they're taking out a lot of the fluff to it.
So yeah, so Tobias, Austin, Tori, if you want to make a new character, come on down to Leviathan. We're ready for you once this patch hits.
And the big thing for
so I can believe I can fly in ARR. I believe I can touch the top of the skybox and it says I can fly no further. When I think about it every night and day. Spread my mount wings and fly away. I believe I can soar. I'm really excited for being able to fly in.
When they showed the image, Basil, like, was shook. He was like, oh my god, is that Mordona? Please tell me that's Mordona. Is he flying in Mordona?
Yeah.
I am so excited to be able to fly in a Realm of War and all those places. And don't worry, folks. There are no Aether Currents, although yay! I love Aether Currents.
That was my
question. I hate Aether Currents. All the requirement is you beat the Ultima Weapon Quest in the main scenario.
Oh, how convenient.
So, just think how easy it's going to pray return to the Walking Sands.
Oh my god. Well, that's if you don't use the go to Limsa, get on the ferry, and go.
So yeah, I can't wait to explore, because I assume that means they've also made edits to, like, the geography and stuff. So all the weird hitboxes you normally would not be able to see around, they probably had to fill that in.
Oh, I hope they have. Oh, I'm so excited about that, too. Oh, my gosh. I just want to roll around in it.
Yeah, I know a FC member of ours, Mantis, he was excited because he can fly around Midgard's armor now.
Well, you know, there's so many places in... there's so many places in North Shroud that if you get off of... that if you manage to get off of the map, which they made it, like, successively harder and harder and harder to jump off the map... But there are just so many, like, little places in there that it's obvious that they were building this up to be something, and then they just left it. And there's just no way to get to it. And I hope that this means I can now get to those places.
I think Western Currents will be a fun place to fly around in, because you've got all those, like, hidden gorge, like, caverns you can go down into, like, where the Yetis are. Mm-hmm. I think that would be a lot of fun. And to find all the random, like, dragon remains that are around there.
So, yeah, that is super exciting. And really just unreal. They're finally doing it. Oh, just like the Unreal Trials are doing. And the fake hollows. Sure.
By the way, did you guys look at the image that is in the document? Because the face of that fox, that little fox is just so cute.
That's a specific kind of fox.
I believe they said it was like
a sun fox?
I don't remember. I saw people talking about it on Twitter.
Yeah, but it's a special kind of fox, and they all have that face. As I saw somebody once describe it, it's like somebody tried to draw a picture of a fox, but they couldn't quite get the face right.
But oh, I'm excited about this, because we can do old primals, and they're going to be synced to level 80.
Tibetan sand fox. That's it.
Yes, that's it. But yeah, so this is going to be really neat, because each patch, they've said that they're going to pick a primal, and it's going to be synced to level 80. So you get to, like, if you remember how hard all of these extreme trials were when we were 50, it's going to be that plus more. And depending on how you do in the fight, it determines your rewards. And once a week, once you clear it, you have a chance at playing a new mini game for rewards, which I'm assuming that little fox is a minion and I want it. And the first primal we get is Shiva.
Yay!
So Basil's not going to do it. Basil will go in there and close his eyes.
I'll keep casting for you, though.
Yeah.
I'll keep casting.
Just throw a physic on us, you'll be fine.
You can also be able to join the Party Finder as a party.
That will be useful for you and me, Basil. Because, like, now we can be partied up and go join a Mizora party and hopefully get you a clear.
I kind of hope we get that clear before this patch, because we have a few.
Yeah.
We got a month or two.
But you can also do cross servers as a party now. So, like, we could be in a party and go to another server and do a hunt train.
And that'll be nice. Because the primal hunt trains are very, very well organized. You'll also be getting more chapters for New Game Plus. So if you want to go back and relive the good old days, you get to without, you know, having to start a whole new character. They're adding vendors to major cities for exchange for token items. I forget what tokens they were talking about.
I wonder if maybe it's kind of like the tokens from like in Mordona, where we trade in poetics. Maybe that, or like the wondrous sundries or whatever. I wonder if that's kind of what the type of vendor it's going to be.
I know they did mention that for, like, older tome gear from, like, previous expansions, where you would still have to get that, then the upgrade bits of poetics, then put it all together to get your upgraded gear. It may sound like they're just going to just take away the old stuff that couldn't be dyeable, the not so good stuff, and you can just get the good stuff without having to deal with the extra upgrade bit.
That would be nice, especially for, like, maybe even like Blue Mage, when it gets to 70, you can just go spend Poetics and get that gear instead of having to get that gear and the upgrade and then go upgrade it.
It also will help for folks that aren't like level 8 and everything. They give more excuse to be able to level up alternate jobs.
I don't understand. Who's not level 80 in everything?
Well, there'll also be another expansion. They'll probably introduce a new job or two.
That's true.
That you'll have to
level 90. They better introduce bunny boys.
That's what the Easter event was for.
No.
You got a bunny outfit.
No, that is not the same. That is not the same thing, and you know that it is not the same thing.
It's a little bit creepier.
It's significantly creepier.
Those bunny outfits were really creepy.
Yeah.
I like the dapper one, though.
Like, why did they make them look so creepy? But anyway.
And then the last thing that they mentioned was we're getting a new menu for our umbrellas, which is nice, because I don't like how we have to go get them
okay,
now.
Okay, what? I haven't played in a while. What are umbrellas?
Okay, technically they're parasols, is what they're called. But in the Ishgard Restoration, in the Firmament, which is where we're the Ishgard housing, one of the things you can either win from the Moogle scratch-offs or you can buy with scripts are parasols. Right now there's currently a black one and then a blue and white one. And basically you can pull, it's like a mount, that's kind of how they've developed it. And so you can hit the picture, the icon in the menu, and your character holds the umbrella while you're running around. So you can have an umbrella wherever you want.
So it's another goddamn little collectible thing, huh?
Uh-huh.
Oh,
hey. When it's raining, your character doesn't get wet.
That's true.
I like how you say that as if that isn't like what most MMOs are at a certain point, you know?
Yeah. It's another goddamn little collectible thing.
It's another thing for me to do.
You want it? You need it. Yep. Gotta have it.
I mean, all the cool kids have it. All the cool kids have it. It really shows that you haven't, like, put much time in the game if you don't have one. Like, nobody's seriously going to talk to you.
You're a filthy casual like me.
Not going to lie, when I went to the Crysterium to clear out all the side quests I never bothered to do, and it was raining, I was like, well, shoot, let me pop this parasol. So my character doesn't get wet as I'm running around, all the stuff is raining because everything's at roofed.
Yeah.
See, this is why, like, I'm collecting them because it's what I do. But I don't ever pull it out. Like, hell, when I'm running around Animal Crossing and it's raining and all of my neighbors have their umbrellas out, I'm just running around getting wet.
Because it doesn't affect you like it would
exactly.
In real life.
Because you're not really wet.
And Umi, you talk like this is a bad thing. But when the Log Horizon happens, you're
really
thankful.
Oh, no, we're
going
to need umbrellas. We're going to need umbrellas. We're going to need to know how to make umbrellas at the very least. Like,
but that was a live letter. Like, I know the second half, they watched, Yoshi P actually went onto some Japanese servers and hung out with people and talked. But that was, we didn't actually watch the rest of that. We went back to bed.
And it was really cute how Yoshi P and Foxconn had little chocobo plushies beside them. So even though they were in separate rooms, they weren't alone.
I loved Foxclon. He had drawn on a dry erase board behind him his little Chocobo Sanque. It was cute.
And really, that's how you social distance, folks. You get a Chocobo plushie and just keep it beside you, and you're fine. Just stay away from everybody else. All right, folks, that's going to do it for us, because that live letter was long, and recapping it is also long.
I mean, it's a major patch, so there's a lot in it, which makes sense.
And we've got the current patch to enjoy for a little bit longer since they got those delays. So yeah, this has been the Carbuncle Chronicle. Thanks for listening to us. You can find us on Leviathan on the Primal servers. If you happen to be around, give us a holler. We're here to say hi, hello, nice
Some
meeting
you. Some of us
you.
Are on Twitter.
It's true, I'm at It's Basil Time.
I'm at It's Angel Darkfire, but the dark has no A.
I'm at Dylan Wolf.
And while Umi is not on Twitter, you can go to his Redbubble, redbubble.com/umitsu, and buy yourself a Black Mage shirt.
Oh god, I've sold so many of those Black Mage shirts.
It's a wonderful shirt. If you are a Black Mage or a Black Mage at heart, you need to go get yourself a Leyline shirt so you're never out of your Leylines.
Yeah. Yeah, my rotation is actually written into that shirt. It's something that's a little bit of a secret because it doesn't like print out all that.
Oh my
clear.
Gosh, I need to go look into that.
Yeah, go look at it. Like it's no longer my rotation, but at the time that was my rotation.
Nice.
And it's pretty. Boom.
So yeah, let us know what you thought about this. Where this is sort of an evolving new thing we're trying out, and we're enjoying talking about Final Fantasy 14, and yeah, let's know what you think.
And if you like it, and you want to hear more from, well, them, I don't normally talk, but they have another podcast called The Awesome Cast.
Which you should know about, because you're already listening to this one, so you've already been to the webpage. But if you came to this for 14, but do want to hear other things that we talk about, yeah, The Awesome Cast, your podcast for everything awesome. Just recently, we talked about Chihayafuru. Pretty soon, we'll be talking about Beastars, all sorts of things. So, until our next issue hits print, we're out.